Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You may be seated. Ashes on your forehead or not, you are going to die, unless the Lord returns first. And each year in this service, as the sign of the cross is made in ash on your foreheads, marking the beginning of Lent, you hear those words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." That's what you see, that's what you hear, and it's the same no matter if you're the elderly, the middle-aged, teenagers, children, or babies. All are reminded of the same thing. You are going to die. So Ash Wednesday stares you in the face and it says, you are not safe. And you know what? You never will be. Death is crouching at the door. And that's a pretty stark thing to think about, isn't it? When God created man in his image, he said it was good. Adam and Eve were created as the good creation of the good and holy God. Yet, when the woman and man ate of the tree, God spoke a word to them, which showed them what their sin had brought about. And to the man, Adam, God said, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now, God wasn't just simply saying your body is only going to waste away and decay. It's true, it happens because of the fall into sin, but it goes beyond that, and it's far more serious. God is being true to his promise that eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would most certainly bring about death. The wages of sin, that is, what is due sin rightfully, is death. Man is the creation of the eternal God, and man is the one who sinned against him. Man was formed by God from the dust, and after thinking he knew better than the Almighty God, the Lord puts him in his place and shows him where he really stands in this after the fall. And that's who you are, too. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Does that make you uncomfortable? Well, it should make you uncomfortable, not in a way in which you feel uneasy, but in which you are stirred to your core. Because you see, God knows hearts. God knows your hearts. He knows what it is you desire, what it is you think, what it is you believe. And there's no escape, even as you are sinful from the time of conception in your mother's womb, you are heading from that very instant toward the grave. And all that is sinful deserves this sentence. There's no wiggling one's way out of it. There's no loopholes in God's law. And Jesus tells you in the gospel reading about your heart and where it is and where you are to look. So he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So did you listen to Jesus? So what about it? Where is your heart today and each day? Well, when you look at God's commandments, what does it tell you about where your heart is and where you find your treasure? What or who is it that you love and hold dear and hold fast to as one holds fast and guards a dear treasure? Well, the epistle reading teaches you what your life is to look like as the baptized people of God, and admonishes you to see this instruction. God inspired St. Peter to write, "His divine power has granted us to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So is that what your life looks like as the baptized people of God? Have you been making every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and the list goes on? Or has your life been making every effort to love the treasures of this world, which are not eternal, and as Jesus said, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal? Well, it's no coincidence that all the other commandments come back to the first commandment, that you shall have no other gods. Martin Luther rightly writes about this in the Large Catechism when we read, "So the first commandment is to shine and give its splendor to all the others. Therefore, you must let this declaration run through all the commandments. It is like a hoop and a wreath, joining the end to the beginning and holding them all together." So considering all of this, and Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," what does that reveal about you? Because you see, when you examine your hearts, you see there are many things that we treasure. Just follow the paper and time trail of your heart, and you will find your treasure. Look at your schedules. Look at your credit card statements and bank accounts. Think about the conversations you just had in this past week alone and what the content has been. Think about what you've watched, what you've read, downloaded, or simply consumed. Think about what you've been worrying about and anxious over. Jesus teaches you something very important with these words. He teaches you how easy it is for you, even without realizing it, and before you know it, for your hearts to be intertwined not with the one true God, but with someone or something else. Jesus warns, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So to hold fast to the cares and pleasures of this world and its enticements is to live your lives according to your own desires and choices. The call of God tonight is to look at yourself and ask who you are. Ask yourself the questions: do I fear God? What do I really care about? And how do I live my life? What has your life been consumed by and being lived by? And so, with these questions and examine yourself, what is your treasure? Where is your heart? Who are you? Well, God tells you, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That reading from the prophet Joel tonight is a call to repentance. It's a call to return to the Lord. Yet those words of the prophet also comfort, because you see God and his mercy towards you. Knowing and confessing rightly that you are dust, these words ring out as light in the darkness of your hearts. And what God replaces it with is forgiveness, love, and the compassion of Christ. Joel wrote, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." So God knows you're dust. He tells you that. But here's the thing. God is gracious. God is merciful. And that means absolutely everything, because this is your redemption. The reading from Joel 2 ends with this: "Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, 'Behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. I will no more make you a reproach among the nations.'" So, dear people of God, the Lord doesn't simply let sin slip, but he takes the price that is justly owed. And what he does is he puts it on himself. You are dust, but you see, you are dust who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Romans 5 beautifully says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Adam was dust and returned to the dust. Jesus, the second Adam, would not see corruption, but instead endured death in order to atone for your sin, and the sin of the whole world, and to redeem you. So the sign of the cross marks you because the crucified Lord is your Savior, who has died in your place in order that you are forgiven and have eternal life. That's why you are reminded that you are dust, but on your foreheads, you are marked with the cross. And in baptism, you have been clothed with Christ, crucified with him and raised with him into new and everlasting life. For you, dear saints of God, behold Jesus crucified for you. The Son of God took upon himself human flesh and blood and perfectly obeyed God's law. And he is your substitute on the cross, suffering and satisfying God's wrath, which burns justly and rightly against sin. He is your mercy seat by which you now have peace with God and stand righteous before God's throne. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you're God's treasure, who he's bought with the price of his own blood. And you're marked as dust, but you're marked by Christ the crucified. So when you go home tonight and you try to rub off the ash of your forehead, if you haven't done so already, and you look down at your hands and you're like, oh man, there it is, right there. Or your kids have tried to rub it over one another, you quickly find how hard it is, and it can be to scrub that off. Lent, Ash Wednesday always reminds me that for the next 3 weeks, my thumb is going to be black. But know that just as you rub off that reminder of death off of you, off of a loved one, there's a day coming when at the voice of Jesus, and when simply at his command to rise, your bodies will rise from their graves. And at that word of resurrection, your mortal bodies will be destroyed, will be restored and put on what is immortal, what is incorruptible. So Lent is here upon you once again. Yes, remember that you are dust and repent. And you see, know and cling to Christ, who destroyed death by his death and who gives you eternal life. Rejoice in your redemption in Christ, who has created in you a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within you, and will never cast you away from his presence. For he alone is gracious, he alone is merciful, he alone is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Rightly know your place as dust, but know in faith with all boldness and with all confidence that in Christ you are redeemed and you have eternal life and you shall live. With renewed vigor, hear all this tonight and cling to Jesus, who is the second Adam, the man who does not see corruption, but goes down into the dust and redeems you by his blood. Know with confidence that your sin has been put away and that you have a new life in Christ that seeks him and seeks first his kingdom and his righteousness. And you are baptized into Christ, and God's name is placed upon you as he has claimed you as his own. Now, even though you are a man of dust, you are an heir of eternal life. So even if your body does return to the dust, that is, that it goes to death, and your body decays, your Lord is the Lord who doesn't despise what he has made. But he shows mercy. He has forgiven your sins. And you see in your future the Lord raising your body no longer as a man of dust, but on that day as a man of immortality and incorruption, even as Jesus is raised, and the first fruits of them that sleep. So that's all yours, dear saints of God. That's your treasure that you have through faith, and that's a real, lasting righteousness that confesses this to the world around you. Your reward is given on account of Jesus, your righteousness. He is your priceless treasure. And for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And your treasure is with him and in his new creation, which will never go to dust, which moth and rust cannot destroy, which thieves cannot break in and steal. But it is a treasure, a glory, a future, a life full, perfect, beautiful, and living forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.